Well, clearly somebody in the Red Belly Radio research department was sort of slacking, and this is what happens when I work from memory. Several times in the following episode of Red Belly Radio, I refer to it as the 32nd and last Southwest Airlines chili cook-off. It was actually the 35th and last. Now, when I try to do the math and calculate off the top of my head about which was my first cook-off, I'm way off. Well, that is, of course, unless you count the fact that I was wrong to begin with, which somehow made it correct. Oh, and when I say it was the first year, it was really one of the first years. It was like the third year, I think. Truly, truly, I am an idiot savant. Well, at least one of those two words worked correctly. And now the podcast. Chili, concocted outside of Texas, is usually a weak, apologetic imitation of the real thing. One of the first things I do when I get home to Texas is to have a bowl of red. There is simply nothing better. That's a quote from the 36th President of the United States, Lyndon Baines Johnson. From the 32nd and last Southwest Airlines chili cook-off, you're listening to Red Belly Radio. Well, thank you for listening to Red Belly Radio. My name is Steve Heiser. Now, I'm podcasting today from our 32nd and last Southwest Airlines chili cook-off. A little history about this event. When I first started about 17 years ago, I can remember walking around at the, whatever it was, the 21st and last chili cook-off, and I kept thinking, gee, it's such a great event. Why is it the last? And as I was with the company a little longer, I learned that on the first year of our in our history, the first year of business, somebody said, "Hey, we ought to do a chili cook-off or some kind of event," and people said, "Yeah, why not?" And since no one really thought we'd be doing it a second time, for multiple reasons: one, no one really thought the airline would still be around, and two, no one really thought they'd want to mess with an event of this caliber or ilk again. So they just called it the first and last. Sure enough, another year went by, and somebody said, "Hey, you know what? We ought to throw another chili cook-off." So it became the second and last. And as the story goes, we're now up to the 32nd and last chili cook-off. I cook chili here every year. I have for, gosh, at least 12 years, 14 years. And I have yet to win this event. It's always my favorite day of the year. You know, it's around my birthday. And it's usually a beautiful spring, April day, although I've been here plenty of them when it's pouring down rain or very cold. There are 25 chili teams cooking here today. Not everybody is going to be doing show. Something about chili cook-offs you may not know is that there is an aspect of them called show or showmanship. And that's where the chili teams do some kind of show, entertainment. They might play music. It might just be the way they set up their area, costumes. It could be as sophisticated or as simple as the team is willing to go. Our team, that my department, Corporate Communications, we go out pretty big for it. We have actually done well, fairly well in show. Corporate Communications theme today, my department's theme, we have gone, for years we have had a cow on our logo, and we come up with a different theme every year. And this cow we have named CC, or CC for Corporate Communications. And CC has been put into any number of situations. Most memorably would be had CC with I think it was a white suit, kind of a la John Travolta in Saturday Night Fever, and a mirror ball. We had a 70s, somebody in the department's husband had a stretched limousine from the 70s, so we had that in the back with, I think, Saturday Night Fever playing on the video, and then we had a music and mirror ball, and we all have T-shirts that have the CC, the cow, doing whatever things. This year is Mass Media, M-E-A-T-I-A, because our department deals with a lot of media, and CC the cow looks kind of like a robot, is put together in microphones, cameras, TVs. So it looks really great, and we've got to sing to "Heard It Through the Grapevine." We're singing "We Heard It From the Bovine." I don't know. There's some pretty good competition out here this year. We sort of started this about 7 years ago. We really took the showmanship at this chili cook-off to a new level, and now everybody else has come up to us. Dare I brag about it? But that's sort of what it feels like out here. This event has just gotten bigger and bigger over the years, and it's just, like I said, my favorite day of the year. Something about me is that I cook chili competitively, as they call it, on the chili trail. On the real competitive chili trail, I'm a member of a group called CASSIE. It stands for the Chili Appreciation Society International. It's by far, I believe, the biggest chili organization. It has more sanctioned cook-offs than any of the other groups that do cook-offs. The way normal chili cook-offs work is, of course, in Texas, real chili is only meat and gravy. And, of course, most people, when they make chili at home, they add beans or rice and maybe make it out of turkey, you know, who knows. But in competition circles, it is beef with gravy. There's no what they call fillers. There's no beans. There's no chunks of onion or tomato. That's done for two reasons. One reason is that you could conceivably mark your chili by having specifically cut chunks of onion or a particular type of bean in it or something, and that could mark your chili for the judges. The other reason is the purest. Real chili from real Texas historic. Everything we know about the history of chili says that this is what chili is. And so those are the reasons that the competition. Now, this is not an official sanctioned event. It is just for fun. It's for bragging rights. And people can turn in anything they want. I've seen teams turn in green chili. I've seen them turn in things that I might even call more like a stew. Some teams have beans. Some teams have big chunks of all sorts of identifiable foreign objects, as they're known on the chili trail. I have managed to get third place here, I think, three times. I think I've gotten fourth a couple times and fifth once or twice. But I've never won it, and I've never cracked the top three. So hopefully today will be my day. You never know. Now, you might not know this, but if you were going to guess what the official state dish of Texas is, you know, some people might say chicken fried steak. Not a bad guess. Very popular in this state. Others might say barbecue. Maybe even a better guess. Well, you'd be wrong. It is chili. So in 1977, chili manufacturers successfully lobbied the state legislator to have chili proclaimed the official state food of Texas in recognition of the fact that only real bowl of red is that prepared by Texans. That's how it reads, the official proclamation. The history of chili is a long and varied. It's debatable, too. Chili has its roots in Texas and arguably Spain, because in the 17th century, in 1618, according to an old Southwestern American Indian legend, it is said the first recipe for chili con carne was put on paper in the 17th century by a nun, Sister Mary Agreda of Spain. She was mysteriously known to the Indians of the Southwest United States as La Dama de Azul, the Lady in Blue. Sister Mary would go into trances with her body lifeless for days. When she awoke from these trances, she said her spirit had been to a faraway land where she preached Christianity to savages and counseled them to seek out Spanish missionaries. Now, it is certain that Sister Mary never physically left Spain, yet Spanish missionaries and King Philip IV of Spain believed that she was the ghostly La Dama de Azul of American Indian legend. It is said that Sister Mary wrote down the recipe for chili, which called for venison, antelope meat, onions, tomatoes, and chili peppers, which is pretty much the exact recipe used today. Chili has been a staple of the cattle trails for years, and in 1850, records found by Everett de Goyer as a Dallas millionaire and a lover of chili indicated that the first chili mix was concocted around 1850. Trail cooks pounded dried beef, fat, pepper and salt, and chili peppers, of course, into these chili bricks, and they could be boiled in pots along the trail as meals. This is a fun fact. In 1860, residents of Texas prisons in the late to mid-1800s also lay claim to their creation of chili. They say that the Texas version was a stew of the cheapest available ingredients, which was tough beef that was hacked fine and chilies and spices that was then boiled in water to an edible consistency. The prisoner's plight, as it became known, became a status symbol of the Texas prisons, and inmates used to rate jails on the quality of their chili. The Texas prison system, in fact, made such good chili that freed inmates often wrote for the recipe, saying that they missed it most after leaving. Wow. In the 1880s, Latino women, nicknamed chili queens, sold a stew which they called chili, made with dried red chilies and beef from open-air stalls at the Military Plaza Mercado. They made their chili at home and then loaded it onto chili wagons and sold it in various places in San Antonio. One of them was right out there in front of the Alamo, which right now is downtown. In 1937, though, they were closed down. After 200 years of doing this, they were closed down due to their inability to conform to the sanitary standards enforced by the town's restaurants. It sounds like some of the restaurants are kind of jealous, if you ask me. Something that a lot of people confuse, chili, spelled C-H-I-L-E, refers to the fruit. And yes, it is a fruit. C-H-I-L-E can also be the country, Chile, but C-H-I-L-I is the dish. Of course, C-H-I-L-L-Y is, you know, when you're cold, but that has nothing to do with this. In fact, I often see this mislabeled or misspelled on labels of products, because if you go by chili powder, C-H-I-L-E, it is the powder of that particular chili. If you buy C-H-I-L-I powder, it is a mixed blend with cumin and probably salt and onion, garlic powder, and of course dried chilies, which you could use to make the dish chili. So that's C-H-I-L-I powder. Now, I see that misspelled all the time, so watch your labels. In 1952, at the State Fair of Dallas in Texas, Mrs. F.G. Ventura of Dallas won the State Fair contest, and her recipe was declared the official State Fair of Texas chili recipe. Now, most people incorrectly attribute the first cook-off in 1967, which is the most famous and well-known chili cook-off, which took place in 1967 in Terlingua, Texas. Terlingua's in the Big Bend area country, and it was chosen for its remoteness to, well, everything. The nearest commercial airport is almost 300 miles away. Just getting there, I've been there, and the way I tell people is you go to the middle of nowhere and drive about another 200 miles. The first cook-off was between Texas chili champ Homer Wick Fowler, Dallas newspaper reporter, and H. Allen Smith, a New York humorist and author. The cook-off challenge started when H. Allen Smith wrote a story in the August 1967 Holiday magazine titled "Nobody Knows More About Chili Than I Do," which claimed that no one in Texas could make proper chili, and Smith included a recipe for chili that included, yes, beans. Of course, that offended many Texans, and Frank Tolbert challenged him to a cook-off. And they of course went down to Terlingua. The cook-off, which was just between the two men, it ended in a tie when the tie-breaking judge, Dave Witz, a Dallas lawyer and self-proclaimed mayor of Terlingua, go figure that one out, spat out his chili, declaring that his taste buds were ruined. Yes, folks, I said ruined. R-U-I-N-T. That is the quote that they've used all these years. And they say that they'd have to do the whole thing over again next year. Sounds like promotion ship at its finest, but who knows? I suppose his taste buds were ruined. Oh, what else did I want to tell you about chili here? By the Depression years, this has been into the 20th century, going back a little bit now, chili joints meant the difference often between starvation and staying alive. Chili was cheap and crackers were free. And at the time, chili was said to have saved more people from starvation than the Red Cross. The Dictionary of American Regional English describes chili joints as a small, cheap restaurant, particularly one that served poor quality food. So chili has a mixed pedigree, at best. One of my favorite quotes about, in addition to that LBJ quote, one of my favorite quotes is that Jesse James, who lived in the late 1800s, outlaw and desperado and bank robber of the old American West, refused to rob a bank in McKinney, Texas, which is north of Dallas, because that is where his favorite chili parlor was located, and he wanted to be able to go back to it. Let's see, Lady Bird Johnson served the dish she cooked. She named her chili Pernalis River Chili, and had cards printed with the famous LBJ recipe. And as she said, it has been almost as popular as the government pamphlet on the care and feeding of children. So make what you wish of that. Well, I'm going to be checking back with you, and I'll let you know how I do on this today. I might even talk to some people, but I'm awfully busy. I actually have 4 pots of chili going, and some of them are at different stages, so I kind of need to get back and check my chili. It's turned out to be a beautiful day. Quite a few people walking around here. Let's see if I can find somebody to talk to. Reservations All-Star Deck Party. Hey, how y'all doing? Anybody want to talk with me on Red Belly Radio real quick?
Hey, what's happening? We're out here in the chili cook-off. Hey. Having a good time.
What's your name? Where do you work?
LaDonna from SOS 6800.
And now SOS. Now, what does SOS stand for?
Source of Support.
What does your department do? You help people out.
We support the reservation system at Southwest Airlines.
So when a reservation agent has a
problem.
Not that they have many, but when they have a problem, they're going to send the call to you, or at least call and ask you questions.
They're going to call and say, hey, we got this customer. He wants to do this. And we're going to say, okay, we can help you do that.
This is what we can do to help you.
Or somebody at the airport calls up, says, hey, we got so-and-so at the airport. Can you help us out? Sure, no problem.
But what have you done here today in the way of chili? What's your theme? You got a lot of sports going on. Describe your setup, will you?
Pro sports chili. That's why I got my Daytona 500 shirt on. Woohoo! Because it's a sport.
Woohoo! You got softballs, you got footballs. You got a lady dressed up in Rangers outfit. You cooked chili today, did you? I didn't taste your chili.
Sorry.
So sadly, when you're cooking chili, it's often hard to get out and taste all the other chilies. It's been great talking to you. Good luck today.
How was our chili?
It was really pretty good.
Good texture.
It was garlicky. You had fresh garlic, I noticed, because I borrowed some.
There we go.
This is what, an authentic chuck wagon?
It's a Studebaker. You heard of their cars? An old man told me one time they messed up the Studebakers when they took the tongues out of them. So the Studebaker wagons may have been more popular than the cars.
It's a different kind of horsepower.
That's right.
This is obviously a horse-drawn carriage, and it was used on the cattle trails?
Absolutely. This one came from where I was from, way far west Texas, at Kermit, Texas. And where it went before it came to the ranch in the 20s, this is an 1889 model. We were talking a while ago about being an 89 model. This is an 1889 model Studebaker wagon. And it ended up on the ranch where I cowboyed when I was a young feller. And in Kermit, Texas, way out in the west, flat sandy land of west Texas. And it was perfectly preserved. It was mummified, if you will, till I moved east and came here to the big Dallas-Fort Worth area. And now it's starting to rot, so I got to do something. Thompson's Water Seal, what do you recommend? I don't know.
I don't know. What are the preferred treatment is for something this old? I mean, I'm seeing handmade
fire?
Square nails. And
oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. It's
just
nailed.
This is the real deal.
It's the real deal. Yes, sir.
I use a Coleman stove, and you've got...
You're getting there. There's a big early version of a Coleman, I guess.
Yeah. Well, so, and I'm sorry, tell me your name.
I'm J.D. Barham.
And where do you work?
Over in maintenance.
And so all this is maintenance employees?
All this is maintenance stuff. Yeah. All these are maintenance guys.
Well, can you tell us anything more about some of the features of this vehicle?
The features? It's heavily loaded. It came with all the options. See the drawers? Yeah, it's got drawers. That's a big option in 1889. It's a mobile fuel kitchen, and we've cooked the most this wagon's ever cooked for. We were invited to cook and did cook at the 1996 Olympics in Atlanta, and cooked for 600, And the problem with that is that no chuck wagon was ever designed to cook for more than 12, 13 hands.
Yeah.
So you've got a 12 or 13 man mobile kitchen with 600 people waiting to eat. So we ended up shipping four more original chuck wagons from Texas to Georgia and flying in hands, and it was quite the deal. God bless Coca-Cola Company, Atlanta, Texas. That was a really nice gig. Thank you. Atlanta, Georgia, not Atlanta, Texas. But anyway, I mean, it's got everything that a cook needs.
It's just really simple drawers. Well, yeah. It's just simple shelves and a few. There's four smaller drawers and three larger ones. The front or the lid of the case folds down, and that becomes the cooking
chuck box. This is a chuck box.
That's referred to as a chuck box?
Yeah, it's a chuck box.
And then you've got your canvas cover that you see in stagecoaches.
That's right.
Yeah. Not stagecoaches, but covered wagons.
Some people call it a wagon sheet, and then the cooks, we call it a fly. But below is more additional storage. That's called a possum belly. We carry additionals in there, and if we were doing it absolutely realistically with no refrigeration but on the trail, you'd find salted meats up in the bed of the wagon. We even carried our eggs in salt for two reasons. You'd put the eggs on a layer of salt, cover them with salt, another layer of eggs, and ad infinitum, right? But it kept them from breaking in salt, but it also kept the bacteria out of the egg.
And then he also had salt.
And salt was plentiful. And it was cheap.
Yeah, but you need to carry the salt somewhere.
Then we got a salt, the gravy, and the beans, so it's all good. Reach in the egg box and get a pinch, you know? So, yeah, and as well, the meats, a lot of times you'd see them, when I've done it, I've eaten it, it's not quite like you would have at home with grandma, but it's not so bad. Like, for instance, sausage, highly spiced sausage, the more the spice, the less the bacterial activity. And then you would take the sausage and fry it off, lay it in a crock in patties, fried patties, pour hot lard on that and another layer, and that lard would solidify, sealing it off.
Seal it up, airtight.
You'd dig it out, and guaranteed high cholesterol.
And everybody loves pork fat.
Who doesn't, man? Emerald says it rules, man. It's a perfect food. We just guarantee that what you get off a chuck wagon is going to be tasting really good and guaranteed to clog your veins.
Well, thanks for talking with me today. This is fascinating.
Pleasure's mine, man. Thank you.
Now, I mentioned earlier that this was like my favorite day of the year. And that's what got me into competitive chili cooking was this cook-off. I've done, over the years, I've been to Terlingua four times now. I've held my own in the chili. I haven't done chili but 2 years. The first year I was there, I'm quite proud to say I got 17th. Now, 17th might not sound so great, but it's 17th out of, I think there was 332 cooks there that day. You have to qualify to cook, depending on what state you live in, depends on how many points you have to get. There's a lot that goes into competition chili people don't even think about. Most competition chili is not the kind of chili you'd sit around and eat on Super Bowl day. It is probably too salty and probably too spicy to really enjoy as a cup of chili, as a bowl of chili. On the really big cook-offs, you have multiple rounds of judging. Just the whole system can take, I don't know, 3.5-4 hours. It's a long time. So it's not always the best chili that tastes the best right there out of the pot, nice and warm. It's usually, or it really is, the best chili that tastes best after sitting around for, you know, like I say, 3 or 4 hours. So they're getting ready to announce the judging here. They use a similar system. They use the blind judging technique, same as Cassie in the competitive cook-offs, where everybody submits their chili in a identical white styrofoam cup. There's a number written on the cup, and it's taped, it's covered up on the underneath the like at the bottom of the cup. And then there's a matching number inside the cup. You get the cup, you put the number in your pocket. You want to be sure to do that because you don't want to put your chili on top of the number. So that when you turn your chili in, they number the chilies at random, just one through however many turn in. And then when they announce the winner, they know that cup number, you know, number 2 or number 17 is the winning chili. They tear off the tape and reveal the number. And it only then you have to match the number to see who's actually the winner. So Let's see. The music's dying down. They're getting ready to announce the winners of the chili cook-off and the showmanship. So let's see what today has to offer for me. Well, showmanship, if we made it into the top five. They're only announcing the top three.
Is customer relations.
Customer relations. They did a tribute to television past. They were doing some kind of skits. Oh, they did Beverly Hillbillies. They had people dressed up as different things.
That's just it.
Next, for the showmanship competition.
Showmanship second place.
Corporate communications.
Here we go. Woo! Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Reporting this live. Second place. Second place, corporate communications. We mass meet Ia Chili. Oh, there's a whole gang of us here now. Third place was customer relations. Second was corporate communications. And first was the executive office. I think we all did skits. And the judges come by and we do the little show as it goes along. Now they're doing the chili cooking. Can you get that number off there for me? Okay, here comes the chili. We're looking for number 22, everybody. 22. We can hope. We can only hope for second. It's a tough cook-off. It's a tough cook-off to do well at.
I feel really good about this year. I feel like we're going to be strong.
Well, we'll see. Fifth place.
Position for the Southwest Airlines 2008 chili cook-off.
Fifth place, 2008.
Number six.
Team number six.
Team number six.
Not having your number called is always mixed emotions because you want your number called, but on the other hand, you want to hold out for first place. So it's always a mixed emotion. Who was that? What team was that?
It was marketing.
It's marketing. Marketing had, I forget what they called it.
Performance enhancing chili.
They had some weights and steroids and all. Okay, here we're getting to fourth place. Where's the coupon? Where's the ticket? Here we are. Fourth place.
In fourth place for chili.
Not 22. 16. Not 22.
21.
And who was this team? What team was that? Oh, In-Flight. In-Flight got fourth place in chili. Again, another team whose chili I didn't taste. Ginger, did you taste their chili?
I didn't get to it. I'm really sad I didn't because they did really well.
Crazy Hogs. They're the one with all the motorcycles. I didn't taste their chili. They were only a couple of doors down because I kept hearing their motorcycles. They seem to be happy with that. You're one of the judges, Steve Hosdulik.
That's right.
So you had tasted, 25 chilies today, I understand?
25 chilies.
And some pretty good chilies to choose from?
Some pretty good Tums.
Pretty good Tums?
Yeah, there were some good chilies. Some good chilies. It was a tough decision.
I bet it was. You score them and you add them up and you see who wins. And hopefully, I'll be up there.
We don't even know who wins until...
Well, you're judging on a white cup. You really don't know. Okay, here's what? Third place?
30.
Team number 30, Team number 30 is not my number. Who is team 30, huh?
They only had 25. He's kidding.
Well, yeah, but they have... No, they probably number 30 cups.
Yeah, maybe so.
That, because they don't know how many teams are going to show up. They number like 30, 35 cups.
Yeah,
right. And then you draw
it's
from the bag.
The
yeah, it's a random number.
Yeah, we don't... We're all sitting around wanting to know who the winner is as well. So.
Well, you have to sit around and wait just like the rest of us.
We do.
Yeah, the double blind system developed a number of years ago after some controversy on the chili trail. Apparently some highly questionable chili winners. So they came up with this system, and it's a good system.
It's real easy to tell the bad chilies, though.
Yeah, well. Okay. Team number second place.
Number
16. I have one expression for this position. Worst or first? Worst or first, folks?
That's not true.
Well, it's worst or sixth. Because they only announced the top five, so I have to assume, Okay, what team is that? What team was third? I didn't even catch that. It was one person. All right, first place.
First place winner, 2008 Southwest Airlines Chili Cook Off, is team number 7.
Nope. 6th place. Well, another year keeps me employed here. I can't quit until I get first. I'm going to be 70 years old trying to win this event. Oh, well.
Cargo operations. First place, guys. Cargo operations.
Cargo operations. I think they won last year. We took 2nd place in show, and that's not bad. Another day in the chili cook-off world. We don't know what we did, but we have to assume 6th place. Well, that's it from the 32nd and last Southwest Airlines Chili Cook-Off. I had a beer.
Red Belly Radio is a trademark of the Southwest Airlines Company. This episode is copyrighted 2008. Thank you for listening.